Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes. A good Wednesday morning to one and all. Happy hump day. It is Taz and the Moose with you. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Can't play it. Talking number to call. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body across the way. AB is going to be sitting in with me as he's done the last 2 days. 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. Next 3 hours. 3 to 6 Pacific. Sirius 206 XM. 206 Sirius XM app. Channel 206. Hit us up on Twitter, at Taz of the Moose, at Mark Malusis with a C, at Andrew Bogish. Good morning, AB. Happy hump day, brother. What's going
Moose,
on?
Good morning. Sorry, a little distracted. Was just reading up on the snake story that Mike so expertly told us near the end of yesterday's show. Because
no
now reached the mainstream media, this poor woman that didn't survive in Indonesia. We thought she did. She didn't.
Well, right. I mean, the initial story was probably worse than the secondary story. I mean,
right.
The initial story was that she was eaten alive by a snake and survived.
Survived
getting eaten alive by a snake.
Pulled from the snake.
Which is disturbing in and of itself. And that got us into a conversation for a good 2-3 minutes. And then Mikey B quickly updated the story and said the woman had passed away.
Right.
So.
Which in the end is your... correctly said, was probably the better ending because surviving
the trip in
the snake.
Into the snake,
No thanks.
Well, no thanks in any way, shape, or form. So, yes, that's Mikey B is a trendsetter. He basically led the way. Is that correct, Mikey B?
That is. I'll have some more breaking news later on in the show.
Later on in the show, which then the national media will pick it. That's everyone's listening to Taz and the Moose.
He is the Dan Rather, the Peter Jennings.
That's exactly
of
right.
Our generation.
He sets the tone. He'll look for some strange, odd story that's going on somewhere in the world. He'll fire it out there, and then tomorrow morning it'll be on the back pages of all your local papers.
With all the facts correct.
No doubt. Yeah. No question about it. We kick it off here on this Wednesday morning. A lot to get into. Steve Phillips is going to join AB and myself a little later on in this hour at 6:30 a.m. Eastern time, 3:30 Pacific. We'll talk a little baseball with the former Mets general manager. And then coming up at 8:25 a.m. Eastern, 5:25 Pacific, we're going to talk to Reed Forsgrave, CBSSports.com, college basketball and NBA draft analyst. So as we inch closer and closer to tomorrow night's NBA draft, where it's a fait accompli, who will go number one overall, and DeAndre Ayton to the Phoenix Suns, the former Arizona Wildcat star for Sean Miller. But who will go after that? Well, I mean, it's up to a little bit of debate. So we'll talk to Forsgrave coming up later on in the program. And we'll get it go a little basketball this morning because we are able to spin forward a little bit, a touch, the Kawhi Leonard drama down in San Antonio with the Spurs, because news came down late last night, early this morning, depending on where you are, East Coast, West Coast, that Greg Popovich had traveled yesterday to Southern California to meet with Kawhi Leonard prior to tomorrow night's NBA draft. Now, Leonard has made it perfectly clear, even though he has not spoken to San Antonio, but through the media, that he would like to be traded to Los Angeles, either the Lakers over the Clippers, but preferably the Los Angeles Lakers. The San Antonio Spurs then conversely have made it clear that they don't want to trade him in the Western Conference. And Popovich went to Kawhi Leonard, even though Leonard did not want to have a meeting with Popovich, to try and smooth things out. And reportedly, Leonard is angry over what he believes was the Spurs' mishandling of his quad injury, and he remains irate with public comments from teammates Tony Parker and Popovich that he felt were not supportive of him. So a lot of things to be ironed out in terms of Popovich's last-ditch effort to try and repair the relationship between himself, as he represents the San Antonio Spurs, and Kawhi Leonard. Listen, anytime you put Popovich in a room, you're going to give him a puncher's chance to try and repair the relationship. But the quad injury, there's nothing that the San Antonio Spurs are going to be able to do to rectify that from Leonard's perspective, right? And he has to have the understanding as well is that the San Antonio Spurs are a better basketball team when Kawhi Leonard is on the court. Number two is where you look at the comments by Parker and Popovich at times, AB, over the course of the regular season. I think they came from a point of frustration, not anger at Kawhi Leonard. Frustration that he was not on the court. Frustration that it was not a whole team. Frustration that they were not playing up to their capabilities because their best player on that team was not able to go out there and play.
You know, I had to go back and re-listen to them, reread them. But I thought once or twice I heard anger, or at least frustration with him directly, that they thought he should be back and wasn't. That he was being overprotective, overcautious, whatever it may be. So I get him being angry at Tony Parker and even Greg Popovich for what they said publicly. But I would think that you could fix that, right? I mean, you talk about it, be men, apologize, accept the apology. Because I don't know how many better situations, obviously, Kawhi Leonard's going to be in than San Antonio. I mean, when push comes to shove, you know, maybe put your feelings aside, work through them like adults, and sign your $219 million max extension and stay with the best coach or the second best coach in the NBA.
Well, but you mentioned better situations, and I'll push back on that a little bit.
Sure.
Because isn't any situation Leonard puts himself into a good situation because he's that good of a player?
Well, yeah, but again,
I mean, because he's going to make, if he goes to the Lakers are going to be markedly improved. I mean,
right.
if he goes to the Clippers, who came off a pretty good year, given what they traded away and what they didn't have. I thought it was a pretty good coaching job this past year by Doc Rivers. Aren't the Clippers going to be a better basketball team? Went to Boston Celtics. I mean, Leonard is, I mean, I look at Leonard as a top five player in the sport. I mean, he's
right.
That good defensively, two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. A couple years ago, he averaged nearly 26 points per game. He's evolved offensively. You touched upon it yesterday, AB, that you loved him coming out of San Diego State, and he has developed into the player that many did not anticipate him developing into, but you thought he was going to be an unbelievable pro, and he's developed himself into an unbelievable pro. So if I'm Leonard, I say, all right, if I leave San Antonio based on the fact that it's a players' league, wherever I go is going to be great because I'm a great player.
Well, yes, he makes the roster better, but in terms of head coach and GM and organizational strengths and just knowing what it is, I don't know that every single place is better. You know, you could pick a team. Theoretically, he goes to Boston and Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge and whatever left after a trade to get him to Boston.
That's as good of a situation.
That might be better than San Antonio, but all of those things are unknown. He knows San Antonio. And me, like, that's just the way I work. Maybe I need to be in life a bigger risk taker and try new things, but I like the known against the unknown. All of those other places are unknown. I know San Antonio right now. I know what we've done. I would think that he could still see the positives in what the organization has done and trust them to do the right things moving forward as they rework the roster post-Parker, post-Ginobili, and really fully focus on him and add new pieces around him. I still think that's as good a spot as he's going to get. Anything else that might be better to me is only incrementally better.
All right, but okay, and then to play the second point that not every relationship is resolvable, right?
True.
I mean, look at completely different note, look at the divorce rate in this country, right? So not everything you can resolve, not everything you can solve, not everything is A-okay, right? So you look at Kawhi Leonard in the San Antonio Spurs, and you want to look at a relational issue and a relationship issue. If you're him and you're the best player on the team, you've got to be saying to yourself, haven't I done enough? Haven't I sacrificed enough? You know, he was never a guy that was demanding the basketball. He was never a guy that was going in the media and saying, where's mine? He was always a great teammate. He was always a guy that filled in the cracks early on when Duncan was still a pretty good, really good player before his career started to take a downturn, when Tony Parker was still a really good point guard, when Manu Ginobili had some more tread left on the tires. He was always a great teammate, right? Never took shots at anybody, was always the quiet assassin, did what he needed to do, right? He suffers an injury, right? And maybe first, relatively serious injury, aside from the ankle sprain last postseason, but first relatively serious injury. And all of a sudden, the guys that he was there being the backbone, the support of, initially in his NBA career, from his perception, are taking shots at him, whether it be out of frustration, whether it be out of anger, that he is not on the court, that he would rather be rehabbing in New York City, that he would rather be anywhere else but San Antonio. And wouldn't you at that stage, if you were him, say, well, I learned a little bit about Popovich. I learned a little bit about Tony Parker at that stage. I don't know if I want to go to battle night in, night out for Greg Popovich any longer, because I was in a position where I was hurt. I'm thinking about my long-term durability as an NBA player. I want to make sure when I come back, I'm 100% healthy. And there is Greg Popovich going to the media and airing the dirty laundry of the organization out to the media.
Well, I also think, and this again plays in what we've talked about now for three straight days, in our lack of knowledge, deep knowledge of this situation, and exactly what happened and who's more wrong than the other. Because of that, I still default to Kawhi, in the midst of what might have been a legitimate issue with the Spurs, has mishandled a lot of this situation. And it seems like, again, remembering what Tony Parker said and what Manu Ginobili has said and what Popovich has said, is that he wasn't open and honest with them through all of this. Like, part of their frustration was a lack of knowledge, not understanding why he wasn't back on the court. So to me, my hope would be he would acknowledge the things that he didn't do right in this situation.
All right,
and understand that that made them angry, and that's how you get to forgiveness, and that's how you get to him staying in San Antonio.
Okay, but let's be realistic. Star players, right? How many times do they admit a mistake?
Well, he doesn't need to do it publicly, but he can do it to them
face-to-face.
I mean,
guys have worked through things before.
But
I understand they've worked through things, but initially, I mean, it is difficult to get to the point where you see star players who've had their rear end kissed for years, who basically are surrounded by yes men and sycophants. It's difficult to get those guys to step up and apologize, regardless of sport. This is not necessarily just focusing in on Kawhi Leonard. And I'm not telling you that Leonard handled everything perfectly, but if you want to say it's a relationship issue, and if you go off the Ramona Shelbourne Woj report on ESPN, right, and both of them are fantastic at the job that they do, and you want to say that it's the Parker Popovich comments, it's the San Antonio Spurs health staff or medical staff and the way that they handled the injury. Maybe you can get over the injury aspect. How can you resolve the breaking of the trust? From Leonard's perspective, from Kawhi Leonard's perspective, how can Popovich bridge the gap in that meeting yesterday? What is Popovich going to say? I was wrong. I apologize. I'm sorry. But from Leonard's perspective, can he really trust from him? Really trust Popovich the way that he did before? Can he really trust Parker the way that he did before? And wouldn't Leonard then be better served being someplace else than San Antonio?
Well, I think what Greg Popovich should do is have LaMarcus Aldridge involved in this meeting, because the two of them didn't get along for different reasons a year ago. And Popovich was even said out loud, I don't know that LaMarcus fits here. And then they got together and they both were men and they fixed it. And Aldridge had a remarkable season for his, relatively speaking, for him this year. So I think you see that. You go, look, listen, you bring LMA in. He goes, dude, I didn't like the guy either for a little bit. And we talked about it, and now we're cool. Like, let's fix this.
No. But from Leonard's perspective, do you think he's open to fixing it?
See, I got no idea.
Well, but I mean, if you had a venture, I mean, right now you would
it
probably venture
like
the
no.
guess. No, right? There seems to be too much water under the bridge. Aldridge is signed to a long-term deal. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge signed a couple off seasons ago with San Antonio and left the Portland Trailblazers. You look at Kawhi Leonard. Leonard wants out. He's going into the final year of his contract. He's due to be a free agent next year, next summer. He's looking to get out from San Antonio. He doesn't want to be a part of it. He didn't sign a 4 or 5 year contract extension, and then he's got issues with Greg Popovich. He said, well, listen, I already signed here. I've got to try and play nice. And also, here's the other issue I have is, The other issue you have is Kawhi Leonard could tell you wherever the hell he wants to go. And he might say, I prefer to play in Southern California with the Lakers organization, AB. If I'm the San Antonio Spurs, I'm getting the best deal that I possibly can get. I'm not doing Kawhi Leonard any favors. You're not going to be able to dictate the terms of where you are going to go and where you are going to play. Now, if I'm Boston, I got to get all the information. I got to have the ability to probably talk to him to see if he would be open to the possibility of signing long-term. Same thing would go, say, for the Philadelphia 76ers. People have thrown out the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those conversations had to be had. But for San Antonio, if the relationship's not repairable and the Popovich meeting did not go anywhere yesterday, if I'm the Spurs, I am maximizing the value of Kawhi Leonard. I'm not, A, going to lose my franchise player, and then, B, send him to the place that he wants to go play. It doesn't work that way.
Except it kind of does, because that's the only way you can maximize his value.
Not really.
Well, you can't, but if any other team that's not the Lakers or the Clippers, I guess, has no guarantees that he's staying with them past this year. And in fact, he's apparently going to officially tell everyone, unless you play in LA, I'm not signing an extension with you.
So that's what he says now.
So you're trading for him with the strong possibility of only having him for one season,
right?
Which changes what you're going to give the Spurs for him.
Well, so look at what Oklahoma City did last year with Paul George. Oklahoma City trades for Paul George. Everybody and their mother thought he was going to the Lakers. There was a report a week and a half ago that he might re-sign with Oklahoma City.
Sure.
That he enjoyed his year with the Thunder and that he enjoyed playing with Russell Westbrook. The Oklahoma City Thunder rolled the dice, right? The Indiana Pacers got Oladipo, who became an absolute star for them this past year, and it looks like he's going to be a star on the rise. You look at what the Indiana Pacers got back in return. Even though Dan Gilbert can say, well, maybe we offered a little bit more, what the Indiana Pacers were able to get, the Indiana Pacers were happy to get a guy like Oladipo. And if I'm the Boston Celtics, I'll put it to you this way. If the Boston Celtics win an NBA championship next year, with the addition of Kawhi Leonard, would that gamble be worth it?
Well, right, but you're looking at it from their perspective.
Yes.
I'm talking from the Spurs' perspective. If I'm trying to trade Kawhi Leonard, the most value I can get for him is by sending him to a team that's going to have him for long term.
Not if I can win a championship.
No, but you're talking about that's the other side of it.
I understand the other side. No, but if I'm the Boston Celtics,
but you're not the Celtics here.
But if I'm trying to win a championship, yeah, I am. I'm talking about in a relation. I'm having a trade negotiation with the San Antonio Spurs. If I'm the Boston Celtics and I look at Kawhi Leonard and I can win an NBA title next year, I would be willing to overpay for Kawhi Leonard.
So you're going to give Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard?
I would.
For 1 year, even if they get you a championship,
and then you don't
have either one of them.
1 year. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
If I can win an NBA title next year?
The Spurs then should have you somehow replace Danny Ainge immediately.
Well, hold on a second. Ainge is a guy last year called the San Antonio Spurs at the NBA trade deadline to try and get Kawhi Leonard.
Right, because he would have had him for 2 years.
Well, no, he would have had a year and a half.
Right.
I'm talking about this past year.
Right, he would have him for two postseasons.
Kawhi Leonard didn't play.
But he didn't know that. He didn't know what the deal was.
Well, at that stage, he didn't know. He was trying to do a fact-finding mission. But at that stage, he was willing to roll the gamble with Kawhi Leonard at that stage.
Right.
You don't think Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens believe that if they brought Leonard aboard up to Boston, with the way that Celtic fan base loves their players, you don't think that they believe that, okay, we'll roll the dice. We'll trade a guy like Jaylen Brown's never going to be what Kawhi Leonard is. As good of a young player as he is.
Well, don't forget, too, that Jaylen Brown hadn't had his remarkable postseason when this conversation was happening as well.
No, I'm talking about right now.
Right.
We will roll the dice right now, bring Leonard aboard, and we believe that if we bring him aboard, we can convince him that he could sign here long term.
They may well do that, and the Spurs may do just fine in this trade, but in general, leverage that Leonard has now exercised in saying, I'm not signing an extension, to me changes what teams are going to offer the San Antonio Spurs. Now, they may get a greedy or an over-aggressive Danny Ainge to still make the same trade for this one-year gamble. But if you were trading Kawhi Leonard, who was under control for 3 or 4 years, or who was willing to sign an extension with you, which he apparently is not, you'd get more for him. I mean, that's just the way it normally goes.
I understand that's the way, unless you are a team that's close to a championship. The Chicago Cubs, in no uncertain terms, would ever have traded Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman.
Right.
They traded Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman in baseball because they were trying to win a World Series. But that was a deal in which Brian Cashman came out with the upper hand because they did not think about Aroldis Chapman long term. They were trying to win a World Series. If the Boston Celtics look at Leonard and say, we add Kawhi Leonard, we don't care where the hell LeBron James ends up. But if we're able to add Kawhi Leonard with Jason Tatum, with Gordon Hayward, and with Kyrie Irving, we can win an NBA championship. We can be better than the Golden State Warriors and win an NBA title this past year. And we believe that Boston winning days, we're going to be able to do it. I think Danny Ainge, just knowing, not knowing him from a hole in the wall, just knowing the way that he's orchestrated his business and running that Celtics organization, I think he'd run the gamble. I'm not going to tell you that historically speaking, AB, what you were saying is correct. If you have more control, more value comes with that control. That's all fair. The same thing can be said if you're using it as a rental in a baseball player or if a guy's got 2 or 3 years with a particular team and you acquire that player. Yes, you're going to probably give up more. But when you're looking at an impact player, a top five player in the sport, that is what Kawhi Leonard is. It's going to be interesting. I'd have a hard time if I'm San Antonio trading him to a Western Conference team and having to see him relentlessly beat me down year in and year out, because that's exactly what Kawhi Leonard would do. I'd have a difficult time doing that. I really would. Impossible. You wouldn't?
No, listen, this again is a guy who...
You would trade him to a Western Conference team.
I think you have to get whatever is best for you. Whether
okay.
It's sometimes that sucks. Sometimes it means going to a rival. Sometimes that means watching a guy come back into your building and doing you dirty for years. But you can't take the second or third best package just to get him farther away.
You are a huge Mets fan.
Yes.
Let's spin it this way.
Yeah.
Would you trade Jacob DeGrom to the Yankees?
Depending on what the Mets were getting back, I'd have to deal with it. Yeah.
You would trade DeGrom to the Yankees.
If the
Yankees offered you two foundation pieces, they were the best offer on the table.
Yeah.
You would trade DeGrom
to the Yankees. If the Yankees were silly enough to get to deal Andujar and the minor league outfielder's name, Florial. A deal like that, you'd have to strongly, strongly consider it and get over it if it happened.
It's fascinating. What would you do at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227? You're an AB and myself. Get into it. What would you do if you're the San Antonio Spurs? Trade him outside the Western Conference? Would you let him demand where he's going next? Is it about maximizing value? Or is about not dealing with the headache for the foreseeable future? I want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose, AB in the house this morning with me, rolling right along, right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right along here on this Wednesday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4CBS. Andrew's got his first update of the morning. What's going on?
Moose, this one is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Get a home to get home to. Get Realtor. So yesterday we were told Chris Paul was letting people in Houston down slowly. LeBron isn't coming to town. He doesn't like Houston. But yesterday afternoon, a fresh report said CP3 was still busy recruiting LBJ. That was his main focus, not finalizing his own new contract with the Rockets. As we just discussed, Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard reportedly met last night in San Diego. One account said it went well. Leonard had been playing hard to get, still bothered by the Spurs' handling of his quad injury this season, and still very angry that Popovich and Tony Parker were critical of him publicly. According to Draft Express, Texas big man Mo Bamba refused to work out for the Grizzlies and told them not to draft him tomorrow night. And Luka Doncic will be in the green room tomorrow night here in New York City. The likely top five pick wrapped up the Spanish League title with Real Madrid yesterday and is flying to the States today. The Houston Astros settling for tying the franchise record winning streak.
The hard-throwing right-hander is ready and pitching. Swing and a chopper left side, up and off the glove of Gurriel. Scoring is Duffy as Ramos somehow got it through the infield. He bounced it over Gurriel, and the Rays take a 2-1 lead in the eighth.
As heard on Rays Radio, Tampa Bay keeping Houston from winning its 13th straight 2-1, the final there. The Angels held off the Diamondbacks 5-4. Texas a 4-1 win in Kansas City. The Indians beat the White Sox 6-3, and the Yankees topped the Mariners 7-2. New York a season high 26 games over 500. In the NL, the Giants and Marlins traded beanballs last night. Miami manager Don Mattingly upset. A warning was issued after San Francisco started things with Derek Rodriguez throwing at Lewis Brinson in the top of the second.
You usually give a warning after two guys have been hit. If one guy gets hit, another guy gets hit, and there's warnings. If you give, I think everybody knows, if you give one warning after one guy, then you're asking for trouble, like, out of the blue.
Mattingly and his starter Dan Straley ejected in the bottom of the second when Straley hit Buster Posey. The Giants eventually won the game 6-3. The Rockies outscored the Mets 10-8 to snap their 8-game home losing streak. The Cubs outlasted the Dodgers 2-1-10 after L.A. won in the afternoon 4-3. The Nats 9, the Orioles 7, and the Reds down the Tigers 9-5. Joey Votto, a grand slam, his first home run since May 13th. Day 7 of the World Cup begins in roughly 90 minutes. Portugal and Morocco are first. Uruguay and Saudi Arabia at 8 Pacific. Spain, Iran at noon Mountain. And the House Judiciary Committee has reportedly scheduled a hearing next Tuesday about legalized sports gambling. The NFL among those invited to testify. Moose.
All right, let's hit the guest line right now. Let's talk a little baseball. Steve Phillips joins us, a SiriusXM MLB host, former GM. Hey, Steve, Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Two of the good guys in the business. Happy to be on with you.
Yeah, you got it, Steve, yourself included. Let's start here, Steve. Team, organization, you're very, very familiar with the Mets here. There have been the Rosenthal report. You know, John Harper, New York Daily News, has written about the fact of potentially dealing either Syndergaard or DeGrom, not both. Where do you think Sandy goes here, Rico goes here, in terms of their two aces, Syndergaard and DeGrom? I mean, DeGrom's been unbelievable this year. How open do you think they are to dealing either one of them?
Yeah, I think that you know, their position is they're going to listen on everybody. But that's GM speak for, sure, give me a call, and if you knock my socks off, maybe I'll consider doing something. I just don't know the way their roster's built, whether the timing makes sense. I mean, you've got Cespedes for a couple more years. You've got Frazier for another year. You signed Jay Bruce to a three-year deal coming into this season. And so, you know, many of the other decisions that they've made, they built this team to win beyond just this season, to compete just beyond this season, not really to rebuild. So I don't know. I just think that you know, any deal you want to make for DeGrom at the trade deadline this year would be there for him in the winter, would be there for him next year at the trade deadline, the next winter. And it just doesn't make sense to me right now to go ahead and make a deal. Sure, they'd score big. They could score big in the offseason. And they might actually get more teams involved in the offseason that are looking to compete over the next couple of years. So I don't know. I think that it's one that they're doing the right thing. I mean, my philosophy was always nobody's untouchable, but some were more untouchable than others. And I think that Syndergaard and DeGrom probably fall into that category for them.
Steve, the bigger question for me is Sandy Alderson, should he be the guy making whatever moves will happen by the trade deadline, or do they need a fresh set of eyes and a fresh voice in the organization?
You know, I look at their team and think, you know, what club survives losing their number three hitter in Cespedes, one of their aces in Syndergaard, their closer Familia for a while, their setup guy Ramos for a while, Frazier, their third baseman for a while. They didn't get any production out of first base, and that, you know, where I think you could put something on Sandy for that. So I don't know. You know, I think that they've been bit by the injury bug. They've been unlucky. And I guess an argument could be made, well, then stop signing players who are injury prone. But I think I have a hard time putting all of that on the manager. So I think he's the guy beyond this season. Therefore, he's the guy to consider making these decisions.
All right, let's stay in the Northeast and the American League East, Ray, Steve. I mean, the Yankees, Red Sox, with the way that both organizations are playing right now, it is going to be an unbelievable race here through all the summer months and into the early fall.
Oh, no doubt, an important race because it's a race to win the division. Now, the Yankees, what, up a game right now on the Red Sox, but they've jockeyed back and forth. And we'll have a number of lead changes between now and the end of the year, I believe. And it may come down to the head-to-head matchups in games in the regular season for these teams against one another to see which one wins the division, because nobody really wants to end up being that wild card team where it comes down to you burn your best starter and you face an ace. you know, when likely that looks like Seattle and James Paxton right now, who's got no-hit stuff every time he goes out there. So this is going to be an epic heavyweight battle. Two teams in the middle of the ring slugging it out, hoping to survive to move on. And the good thing about it is it will certainly sharpen their teeth for postseason play. But, boy, it's going to be a lot better to be a division winner than a wild card winner, especially this year with Paxton staring at you on the other side.
Steve, I wanted to ask you about those Mariners. I think right now half of their wins are one-run wins, and that's usually not something that you can sustain. Are they as legit as their record is, or do you think they might come back to the pack a little bit here?
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, you start looking at run differential, right? And you know, for a team that has played as well as they have, what, 19 games over 500 right now, you know, they don't have the same sort of run differential that you might expect from other teams. They're a plus 17 for a team that's 19 games over 500. 17 runs. They've outscored their opponents by 17 runs, which really is indicative of the one-run record. Now, I think they're better than that, and I think they're going to keep getting better than that. You know, they've got a dynamic bullpen, a dynamic offense, an outstanding defense, and if they're starting pitching, that needs to get better. Now, Paxton is an ace. They've gotten a lot out of Wade LeBlanc, more than anybody could have possibly expected for the guy with the lowest fastball velocity of any pitcher in the big league starting every day, every fifth day. But, you know, Marco Gonzalez has been a pleasant surprise. King Felix, you know, he's not as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was. I mean, he's got one outing in him, you know, a lot like Tanaka with the Yankees in that regard, that they can muster one up pretty good, but they can't, you know, give you, you know, multiple quality starts. So they need a starter, but you know, I think they're going to get in on Jay Happ. They're going to get in on Cole Hamels. You know, maybe they'll get in on Archer if he becomes healthy and available. Maybe a Michael Fulmer. But I look for them to add to that rotation. And, you know, I think that they'll make it in as the second wild card. But beyond that, they don't match up all that well in a longer series because of that starting pitching.
You know, Steve, down in Baltimore, the Orioles, they're dreadful at 20-51. And the focus isn't on Machado, who's going to be a free agent this offseason. How deep do you think – how many teams do you think will be in on Machado over the next 5-6 weeks here before the MLB trade deadline?
You know, I think you're going to see both – look, the Yankees are going to kick the tires. And you'll read a report that the Yankees have interest. That's to run up the price. You're going to hear that the Red Sox have interest because that's going to run up the price. Now, would they do that and move a Devers in a deal? I don't think so, but maybe. You know, Cleveland is in on it, and it makes some sense. They can move Ramirez over to play some second base and play Machado at third. What a dynamic infield that would look like. Oh, I mean, it'd be amazing, right? Then you start to look at National League clubs, and you can see the Cardinals maybe jumping in to do something there. The Atlanta Braves could have a fit at third base, although I don't think that Alex Anthopoulos is going to, you know, I think they're competing earlier than they thought. The Phillies could certainly make a play for him, especially now with the Crawford kid's injury and trying to play, you know, Franco at third and Kingery at short. So, yeah, I think that the Dodgers, I don't think, have the financial flexibility with the luxury tax threshold to get in on something like that. Arizona absolutely could make a play. We saw them last year against J.D. Martinez and what a difference he made for them down the stretch. And I think the Diamondbacks could make an interesting play there that if you get Machado in the mix, put him in at shortstop with Lamb and Goldschmidt swinging, if they get Pollock back in, they could be a tough team. And so, I think there's going to be plenty of teams in on it. You know, and look, you know, the thing that we know about the Orioles, they're the most unpredictable team. They'll probably decide to keep them and not trade them at all. Right? I mean, that's an Orioles thing to do. Well, Peter Angelo said, no, we're going to keep them and see if we can't make a run in the second half. I'm like, what? You know, so I don't know. The Orioles are so bizarre, and I feel so bad for Dan Duquette. And this has been the way forever there. Their GM's hands are tied more than anybody else. There's more rules, restrictions, limitations, risk aversion than any team in baseball. They should trade them all. Adam Jones, Zach Britton, Brad Brock. You might as well trade Jonathan Schoop because you need a complete rebuild. And if you can start scoring some prospects, they need to do it.
Steve, if you're a GM and you want Machado, should you care at all that his defensive numbers at shortstop are terrible? Does that matter at all to you?
It matters a little bit. But you know, a lot of the teams that could have a level of interest would play him at third. I mean, you think
is he okay with that?
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, oh yeah, I think he'd be okay with that. I mean, I think about, do you want to play shortstop in Baltimore with, you know, their 20 wins this year, or would you play third base for the Indians with that dynamic team in infield? So, yeah, I think he'll be okay with that. I know he wants to market himself as a shortstop, but I think only to expand the number of teams with interest in free agency. I personally would have no problem pursuing him if I needed a third baseman instead of a shortstop at the deadline and in free agency.
We're being joined here by Steve Phillips, former MLB GM, Mets, and does a great job now on SiriusXM, the MLB channel, host there, and getting ready for a show in a little bit this morning. Steve, I'm curious about Harper. Listen, the power numbers are there. He's got 19 home runs, 44 RBIs. But we're 70 games in. He's hitting .213, Steve. He's one of the great talents in Major League Baseball, arguably right behind Mike Trout. What about Harper's average and his lack of productivity there?
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting .188 after the first 17 games of the season when he was hot. And, you know, his on base is about .350, so it's lower than we've seen in the past over those last games since the first 17. So, you know, look, he's chasing pitches out of the zone. He's pulling everything on the ground. So he's hitting in a lot of those 4-3 ground outs to second base. He's not staying back. The outer third of the plate is unreachable for him right now because he opens up that front hip. He comes flying out. He's pull conscious. And he's overthinking it. He doesn't know when they're pitching to him and when they're pitching around him. So he gets caught up in his head, and it makes him behind the fastball in front of the breaking ball, and he pulls off everything. So he needs a mental break. He needs to be able to kind of catch his breath, refresh, hit the reset button. And yet the Braves are making it tough on Dave Martinez to be able to give him any time off. Now, he's not going to want the time off, but he really does need to sort of slow it down. He takes so much extra batting practice. He's out there with his dad throwing a BP the other day, and he cares a ton. I mean, he does. You can see it. He's all baseball all the time. But what I thought was an interesting twist was that he shaved his beard off. Like, I remember a few years ago when I was broadcasting the game, and I was doing a Cincinnati Reds game, and they had a closer named Todd Coffey. Coffee had a big old beard and everything else. David Weathers was one of the setup men on the team. And I went in the next day to broadcast, and Coffee had shaved off his beard because he blew the save the night before. And David Weathers said, "What are you doing?" The kid said, "I got to change. You know, I blew the save." And he's like, "No, like, you can't do that. Don't give into that stuff. You can't just shave your beard because you had a bad day. That's not mentally tough enough to be a closer." And Harper's tough, mentally tough, but he's put so much on himself with this free agency year. He's put so much on himself for the Nationals not having one in the postseason that it looks like, for the guy who says, "Let's make baseball fun again," there's nothing about it that looks fun. He looks like he's in physical pain watching him play because of the stress and pressure of the game. I think he needs to catch his breath a little bit, regroup, and try to see if he can't get out there and start to have some fun.
Steve, stay with the Nationals just for a second. Last one. Why was the other day the time for the Royals to trade Kelvin Herrera?
Because I think from the Royals' perspective, they looked at it and said the longer that a team gets him, the more that return that they can get. And so they had the Angels pushing them. They had the Dodgers pushing them. And I think that they looked at it and said, okay, listen, we can create a three-team market right here with the Nationals, Angels, and Dodgers. Let's start to run this price up a little bit. I thought it was an interesting move from the Nationals. It was not the most predictable move, I think, looking at their team. You know, they were all over JT Realmuto in the offseason. They could still look for that upgrade behind the plate. I think their starting rotation, not knowing Strasburg's situation, would be something I would take a look at as well. And maybe they will, but I think that at this point, this was a double win for Mike Rizzo. They got Herrera. He improves their bullpen, and Mattson hasn't been as good, and Kinsler's hurt, so maybe that added to their depth. But it kept them away from Atlanta and Philadelphia. I mean, the Phillies' bullpen's a mess, and the Braves could use another veteran. They got a lot of young guys with good arms out in their bullpen, but Herrera would have been a nice fit there too. So I think the timing of it, Rizzo, a preemptive strike to keep him away from teams within his division, with teams within the National League, and clubs that, look, if he gets to the American League, maybe he could play. So I think a pretty interesting move by Mike Rizzo and the Nationals. They're all in to win this year.
Yeah, and Steve, that would close it out here. Is that a precursor here? Do you think we're going to get more trades earlier than July, than the, you know, the week of the July 31st trade deadline?
I do. I think that part of it is, we've got the all or nothing teams this year, right? We've got some teams that it's clear that they're rebuilding. You know, they're on the lower end of things, and it's not going to affect their ticket sales. Nobody's coming now. And so, you know, listen, you're going to get 5,000 now, you're going to get 5,000 later. So go ahead and trade your veterans instead of holding guys. I mean, it's the reality of what we're looking at this year. Attendance is down in a pretty significant way because of that. But I do. I think that teams are going to try to move earlier. Now, the starting pitching market might have slowed down a little bit on Happ and Hamels because of the DeGrom Syndergaard chatter that's out there. But I think once people sort through what that is and what it isn't, I think you'll see that start to move sooner too. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jay Happ, you know, he's pitching again tonight, I think. I wouldn't be surprised to see him move before the end of the month and try to get an extra month out of it for a team in contention.
And Steve usually tweets out pictures of his breakfast. Did you have your avocado toast this morning, Steve?
I have not yet this morning, but I will tell you that my wife is on a streak. We're 2+ years now of every single morning on my show, she brings breakfast in during the show. And it's not just it's not just a bowl of cereal. This is like the legit breakfast.
Oh, it is a legit breakfast. You make me hungry. Look at your Twitter.
I'll tell you, a veteran move on my part. We got married, and then a week, into me doing shows, she kept bringing breakfast in. So I went on and I said, she's on a Cal Ripken-like streak. She said, well, explain that to me. I said, well, you have 17 years. She goes, oh, great. Now you see, she's so competitive. She's so competitive that she has not missed a day. And there have been a few days where my stepson's had to get to school. She's had to do something for work. You know, she's got a fire to put out for work and everything else. She'll ramble back, pull the car, screech into the driveway at 9:45 before my show ends at 10, and comes in, drops breakfast on the table next to me, and then kind of wipes her hands clean and puts them up there like a pit stop guy when the guys are leaving the pit.
And she's gotten it done.
She got it done. So we're on a pretty good run right here.
Well, there you go. Hey, Steve, have a good show this morning. We certainly appreciate the time this morning. We'll do it again soon.
Of course, guys. You got it. Thanks.
You got it.
Thanks,
Steve Phillips, SiriusXM MLB Radio. Check him out. Does a fantastic job, former GM. And it's interesting to see exactly how this trade market does develop in Major League Baseball. The concern with Bryce Harper's average, power numbers are certainly there, but the lack of production otherwise is a little concerning. And the Dodgers, which we didn't get into, have kind of turned their season around over the last 5-6 weeks. We roll right along. Taz and the Moose with you. AB is in the house. We'll get to your busy calls at 855-212-4227. Kawhi, Major League Baseball, whatever's on your mind early, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Interesting what Phillips had to say about Harper in terms of a slump buster, right? Shaving the beard. Are you a believer in like kind of playing those kind of mental mind games?
I mean, I think it's part of baseball lore, right? I mean, you sacrifice a chicken in the locker room a la Major League. You
right.
Go on a bender.
Pedro Serrano.
I mean, there's a lot of ones not for air that you can do to try and get out of a slump. I mean, it's just part of baseball nonsense. Clearly, I don't know what the science behind any of them is.
Well, it's haircut, trying to do something shaving. A little bit different. Right.
Right. You know, you pull up your stirrups instead of low pants, whatever it may be, new cleats, new haircut. Use somebody else's bat.
I do believe that sometimes you have a little bit of a fresh approach. I do agree with that.
Yeah, it's something to make you not think about hitting.
Well,
or
not thinking,
you're not doing
or
well.
Thinking of, or looking at it and saying, all right, I'm going to attack it in new variation. Now, I can understand where you're saying, where the point that David Weathers made to his former teammate in Cincinnati where you've got to be mentally tougher than that. It has nothing to do with your beard. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's about executing your pitches, right? You could understand that.
It could be the beard.
Well, come back. What's your take on Slump Busters? Plus, Kawhi Leonard. We'll get to your busy calls. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.